Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello. This is George Gamond, and it's the Monday show, and hope everybody had a good weekend. Okay, so let me ask you, let's start this whole show off by saying, is anybody tired of all the political stuff that's going on? I mean, just a little overwhelmed by it. You know, an occasional article about this or that. I get on Facebook, and I have friends on both sides of the aisle, and everybody's throwing mud at each other, and it's absolutely crazy. So this week, and spirit kind of motivated me to think this way. Let's talk about love. It's a love week, and we're words related to love. So it's about love and related words. Now, not just romantic love or relationship love, but the principle of love, the concept that Jesus talked about love and Buddha talked about love. Loving one's neighbor as yourself, that sort of love. We're going to talk about love and what love will do for you. Ooh, that's a good thing, right? So I see I have a caller. So we will talk about romantic to some degree. Now, some of it has more to do about how to get romance than if it's coming, because if is really up to you, really, isn't it? Up to you. You go, no, I've been waiting a long time. Well, maybe you need to do something about it to get it there. And so that's what we'll be talking about is love, how to get to that vibration of love. So before I take a call, I see you've been waiting, and I'll be with you in a second. Let me give you a quote, and I think it's kind of based on some of this. This actually came up after I came up with the idea of love, because love came in the middle of the night when I couldn't sleep for one reason or another. I just woke up for strange dreams. You're awake. A strange dream woke me up. Okay. And you're moving yourself up the emotional scale. And I'll give you some information on the emotional scale from the Abraham material. This is an Abraham quote from 2003, December 6th. Oh, that's like over 13 years ago. My goodness. Your business will begin to prosper in new and profound ways. Your business, your relationships, your finances cannot grow beyond your emotional response. Nothing can grow beyond your emotional response. Everything matches your set point of emotions on every subject that exists. So that's kind of where we're starting from. So what's your set point on love? What's your emotion as in relationships or other aspects of love? And we'll go through the scale in a minute. I'll take a call, then we'll go through the scale, and you can see where you're at on that emotional scale. And then I have some articles on what are they? They're on. I'm going to start with this one after that. I like this one. 14 differences between the girl you date and the woman you marry. And this is from a gentleman, Marcus Cusi. Cusi. And I thought it was an interesting comparison, and I'll go through that. And, you know, if you're a man, that's good to look at. Okay, this is the difference. If you're a woman, think about this. In your aspects about relationship and marriage. And you don't have to use the word marriage. You can, you know, partners or whatever you want to use there. You know, we're not going to strictly say you have to be married to be in this kind of category, but think about these words. And then the other article I think is really kind of interesting. This is, why do we pronounce her last name? First name, Samira Kabir. 10 little things happy couples do every day. So if you're looking for relationships, this is the thing to think about. Okay, happy couples, couples that are really working well together. These are 10 things that they do. And then we'll have another article on moods. So that's kind of what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about love. We're going to talk about the aspects. You talk about your emotional scale and any particular subject. And I'll explain more about that emotional scale in a minute. And how love falls in the emotional scale, the energy of love, the divine energy of love. Okay. You know, I always start with the premise that God is love. So if you want to be God-like, you have to be love. Simple. Very simple place to start from. God is love. So if you want to be God-like, you got to exude love. Where am I? I can't find my way back. I have all these windows open. Can't find my way back to the screen. Way back screen. So we're not going to talk about politics. We're not going to talk about immigrants. We're not going to talk about any of that. We're going to talk about love and other words that are close to the word love. And we'll get into all those words this week. My favorite word, okay, and I'll take a call, and we'll get into my favorite word, which is related to love, somewhere in this show, somewhere in this week. We'll talk a lot about it. I'm sure we will, because I believe that a certain word means love in action. Okay, so let me take a call, and then we'll get into all of this stuff about love and emotional scale and all that sort of thing. Hello?
Hi. Yeah, I just want a message from dead people. I'm fine.
Dead people?
Yeah.
Actually,
I'm not into the love. I just want dead people.
Well, maybe they want to talk about love.
Let's see.
Well, not in romance now. Let me give you a great quote, and I'll be with you in a second. I'm gonna get dead people for you. We'll get them on the line. We'll put in a call for dead people. Okay. We'll see if we can reach them. We'll let the operator dial the number. I don't know if you remember operators dialing numbers. It's an old thing that happened many
of
years
course.
Ago.
I'm an old one. I remember.
Yeah, you're not that old. Stop it. Okay. What was the quote for today?
I remember seeing it on I Love Lucy.
I Love Lucy. See, yeah, that's,
say,
there you
operator,
go.
Operator, can you dial me? Circle 934.
Yeah, there was a song, Johnny Rivers, something about operator, please dial this number. I've lost the number. Could you find this person?
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was his child. Mm-hmm. His child, not girlfriend, believe it or not.
Oh.
Yeah, Maurice. Oh, no, he was like 6 years old and she was 6 years old or something like that. Okay, here's your quote. This is from J.K. Rowling, you know, Harry Potter author, right?
Mm-hmm.
Working hard is important. Working hard is important, but there is something that matters even more. Believing in yourself. I love that quote.
Mm-hmm.
Believing in yourself.
Yeah, that's nice.
Hard work is not going to get you anywhere unless you really believe in what you're doing and who you are. So, dead people, let's see. What are dead people going to say to you? Female. First of all, it's a female. I don't. Let me see if I get certain. I heard female right away.
Okay.
Great grandmother, father's side of the family, not mother's side.
Mm.
Okay. So whoever this is, what's he saying? Patience in your endeavors. Don't get too anxious about things not working out as quickly as you would like in all aspects of life, because even though you think you're stagnant, the ball is continuously rolling forward. Do you know what that means? I think I know what they mean by that.
Yeah.
So even when you feel like I think what she's trying to say is even when you feel stuck, the ball is moving forward. You're moving forward.
Yes.
You're always moving forward. So don't be so impatient at times. Okay?
Okay, and then real quick, it's on my father's side. Is there any message about Franny? Franny Smith.
Who's Franny?
My second cousin.
Oh, okay. Oh, so Franny passed, right? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Yeah.
So is Franny out there when you're running around loose? Of course I am, is what I hear. Of course I am. You know, the energy is kind of weak, but it's something about handshakes or shaking your hand or holding your hand, or you can feel her holding your hand. I don't know if you sense that, but that's what she's saying.
That.
Yeah, that she's holding your hand. And she's doing it. She has a sense of humor. Did you know her has a sense of humor? She has a sense of humor. Okay?
Yes.
Because she's – in the picture I get, she's holding your hand to do walk on the stepping stones of life, the stepping stones, so you don't fall in the creek that you keep going. You know, I see a person walking across on the rocks, and she's holding you by the hand to walk across the rocks so you don't fall in the water. Okay?
Thank you, Franny. Yeah.
You know, and I, what I'm sensing, what she's sensing about that, the water is so that you don't get so deeply involved in your own emotions.
Oh,
okay,
no.
Water being emotion. Water
emotion,
being emotion.
Yeah.
So she's trying to keep you upright so you're not overwhelmed by your own emotions.
Okay.
Ah. Okay? So, yeah, just rely on them to help you. Got it?
Yeah. And she just passed on the 27th, so very good.
Doesn't matter. Does it?
That's what I thought. I thought it doesn't matter either, but you get these people, gotta wait a month, gotta wait 6 months. No, you don't.
No, it just depends on the process. It just depends on how quickly they're able to do their transition, okay? Because if you can already sense her hand-holding, then she's there, okay?
Yeah.
Okay? Well,
thanks.
Be well. Have fun. We'll talk
you
more
too.
About love and not necessarily romantic love, but love as a principle. Okay, have a good one.
Alrighty,
bye.
See ya.
See ya. What's that expression? See ya, don't want to be, wouldn't want to be ya? Okay. I don't know where that came from. Anybody know where that came from? See ya, don't want to be ya. Okay. I have no clue. That was something from the 50s, I think, 1950s or that sort of thing. Okay, let's get back to the emotional scale, because I gave you the Abraham quote a few minutes ago and about you can get anything you want if you get high on the emotional scale. So we're going to go through the emotional scale, starting at the bottom. And if you're at the bottom, forget about manifesting anything in your life. You just might as well just kind of chuck it, right? You might as well take a nap if you're at the bottom. So grief, fear, grief, depression, despair, and powerlessness. If you're in that one, forget about it. You know, go do something. Insecurity, guilt, unworthiness is next. We're going up the scale to the good stuff. We're going to get to the good stuff. Well, that was that was 22 was the fear, grief, and all that. Number 20 is jealousy. Ooh. So if you're in jealousy, it's hard to manifest love if you're in jealousy. If you're hard to develop, we can use relationships here because this is a good way of looking at it. It's hard to get a relationship if you're sitting in jealousy. A good one, especially a good one. The next one, 19, is hatred, rage. 18 is vengeance. 17 is anger. 16 is discouragement. So we're moving up the scale. We're feeling a little bit better. 15 is blame. 14 is worry. We're still on the bottom side of the scale. Okay, then 13 is doubt. Now, doubt kind of holds us back from a lot of things. I guess doubt's not as bad as fear, grief, and depression, but it's still not a real positive one. So, and then above that is disappointment. And number 11 is overwhelmed. Overwhelmment. You ever feel overwhelmed? Okay, so number 10 is frustration, irritation, impatience. Now, you can believe this or not, and you can say, oh, yeah, but if you go up this scale, you can see the emotional difference between each one of them. Number 9 is pessimism. Now, number 8 is boredom. Now, boredom is a good one in a sense because boredom usually will stir you to action. If you're bored, you want to seek out and do things. You want to get out. You want to, I'm bored, I got to go do something, right? I had a boss, never let him get bored. He would just do all kinds of crazy things and make you do all kinds of crazy things, right? Okay, number 7, now we're moving into the good stuff, the positive stuff. Now we're relating to if you're in these vibrations from 7 to 1, you're in a good place to start creating. Even boredom is a good place to start creating from, okay? So number 7 is contentment. Being contented. It's not exactly manifesting, but you're in a quieter, peaceful place. Number 6 is hopefulness. I'm hoping, yeah. Number 5 is optimism. I like that, optimism. You got an optimistic attitude. So if you're moving into optimism, you're not the top yet, but you're in this place of, oh, yeah, okay, I see it coming. I can feel it coming. I know it's going to come. Yeah, it's going to get that to me. The money, the job, the relationship. You're optimistic. You're close to the top of the scale, so you're in that close place of manifesting. So if you're in optimism, you're going to manifest according to that energy, which is kind of an interesting way of putting it. Number four is positive expectation, belief. I like that. They're related. It's belief. Oh, yeah, I know it's going to happen. Number three is enthusiasm, eagerness, and happiness. We're still not at the top yet. Now, happiness is not at the top. Now, you might disagree with this, but go, yeah. But enthusiasm and eagerness, I'm trying to be enthusiastic and still use the words, really indicates I'm really excited about this possibility of this happening in my life. It just feels so good. Ooh, I'm eager. Ooh, I'm so eager for this to happen in my life. And then number two is passion. Ooh, passion. That's a good one. I like passion. So when you're in passion, you're a pretty good place of manifesting pretty much what you want, right? And go back to the Abraham quote for a moment. And let's go back there for a moment. Let's go back over that again. Your business, your relationships, your finances cannot grow beyond your emotional response. Nothing can grow beyond your emotional response. Everything matches your set point of emotions on any subject that exists. So let's go back over here. Let's look at this again. So if you're in passion, wow, look, you're in a good place. You're starting to manifest things. Things are starting to happen in your life because that's your set point. I'm passionate about whatever it is. I'm passionate about a new relationship. I'm passionate about a new job, or I'm passionate about money coming into. I can just feel it, touch it, smell it. I know it's coming any moment. That's passion. And when you're in that state of passion, okay, but you're not number one yet. You're still at number two. So that, you know, let's go back over the top five again real quick. So we got optimism. I'm very optimistic about that job. It feels so good. I can almost touch it. Positive expectation and belief. It's a belief. Ooh, I believe it. I just believe it. It's a knowing. They don't use the word knowing, but I would throw knowing in there somewhere in that kind of place right there. Okay, number three is enthusiasm, eagerness, happiness. Ooh, you're in a good mental state, an emotional state. You're just in this really good place, right? Number two is passion. And then number one, and it's interesting, all of these words are on an equal plane on this emotional scale. Now, it's something to think about. You know what? I should show – I am going to post this to my Facebook book, and so you can look at it there if you want to read it. Okay? I'll tweet it too if you're with me on Twitter, and I will share it on – oops. Ooh, what happened? No. Oh, Google Plus if I can find it. So if you're with me in any of these things, yeah, take a look at it, see what you think. Okay? And okay, so back to number one. I'm like one of these people that's delaying number one out, stringing it out for a while, so you get kind of going, would you please say it? Okay. Number one, joy, appreciation, empowered, freedom, and love. So you can say that love is equivalent to joy, being joyful, appreciation, appreciating the new job, the new boyfriend, the girlfriend. Freedom, oh, that sense of freedom. Money is freedom, right? You think about freedom and you think about money, and ooh, money's going to give me all this freedom to do this and that and travel and everything I want to do, right? And then love. So love is on that high emotional scale. And when you're at that place of love, isn't that a beautiful thing? And so if you can get your emotional state to love. Now, in the Abraham material and other writers and bunch of other writers and a bunch of other writers. What am I going to say? Oh, let me get back to where I got lost here. Ta-da. And Abraham and a lot of other writers talk about this emotional scale of freedom, of money, of being equal. It's all, I lost my point. I got kind of excited here and I lost my point. But you know what I'm talking about. So get there. Get to that emotional place. Get to that place of love, that emotion of love, and you're going to start manifesting whatever you want in your life. Okay, so that's enough. So we're talking about these words, and those are the associated words that I have with love. Now, I have another word. and I will throw it in there, and it's not on this emotional scale, but I think it's really, really, really important. It's called compassion. That's my big word for the week, is compassion. Because to me, compassion is love in action. You can love somebody. You can say, I love them. I can love these people because of blah, blah, blah. But compassion means you're actually doing something. Compassion is taking action. Okay, I'm going to show them love. You can use the word love, but no. Compassion means you're actually doing something. You know, it's more than just sending love in the sense of wishing them love or wishing them well. It's actually doing something for whoever it is. Okay, so now we're going to flip into romantic love a little bit. So I posted that article to different places like Facebook and so forth, if you want to take a look at it and read it for yourself. And, okay, so then let me get into, well, I think I'll do this one first. Which one? No. Okay, I like this article. So I'll share this on Facebook, because if you're with me on Facebook, you can read all this stuff for yourself and you can ignore me and go back, go eat lunch or dinner or whatever you're doing, right? So I'll just jump right into the article about being Canadian today. 14 differences between the girl you date and the woman you marry or have a long-term relationship or whatever you want to call it. Now, I want your feedback. I want you to say to me, George, I don't believe this, or I believe it. Seems right to me. I don't know about this. Okay, the girl you date does not want to meet your family or friends. She wants you all to herself. Now, would you agree with that? Just a date. Okay, now let's differentiate here a little bit. Let's make a difference before. So I'm going to give the author a little bit of credit here. The woman you marry, or the woman you want to marry, or the woman you're going to have a long-term relationship with, the one you have the intent to be with, and she has the intent to be with you, right? It's not just a casual dating thing, you know, the friends with benefits or whatever you call it, or the activities partner. It goes beyond that. The woman you marry or have a long-term relationship with wants to know your family and friends. She knows without them you would not be where you are and who you are today. Isn't that true? Have you been in a relationship, your partner wants to know your family? I know from a male point of view it's the same thing. Well, sometimes we're a little hesitant to meet certain family members because they kind of create this horrible picture about them. But, you know, you want to meet the family. You want to know what they're like. Excuse me, my throat is a little too dry. For a man, you want to meet the mother. You want to know where that, you know, is she like her mother? What's her mother like, right? Okay, number two, the girl you date is overly worried about her nails been done all the time, her eyelashes looking in a certain style, and being beautiful for her peers. Her physical beauty is important to her. Now, you can agree or disagree, but I thought this was an interesting article. I'm just sharing some ideas here. Yeah, overly concerned about the physicality, you know, because she's still out there in the marketplace a little bit. Even though you're dating her, she might still be in the marketplace. Now, if you guys disagree with this, I'd love to hear. I mean, if you would think this is a bunch of puppycock, then tell me. The woman you marry or intend to have a long-term relationship, and I'm really reflecting back that this is the woman who wants to be with you in a long-term relationship, who really wants to be with a partner, is not overly worried about her nails being done. Instead, she's worried about being beautiful for her man, even if that means wearing no makeup. She focuses on internal beauty and character building because she knows her real beauty comes from within. So when you're talking about dating here, it's just casual dating. It's just kind of going out, having some fun activities, not necessarily in the scope of we're going to be a partner. I'm not looking at you as a partner, right? Okay. We're going to set that kind of guideline here so this makes more sense to all of us. The girl you date only cares about her career and her vision for her life. She comes before the relationship. She does not make her future plans with you in mind. That is so true. That's absolutely. So if you're just dating somebody and it's kind of casual, blah, 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 yeah, I've known this one. You know, at some point, you want the woman to flip into this one, which is the woman who you marry cares about your career, your vision of life, as well as her own. So it's, you know, it's the thing. You're concerned about both of you. She knows you also have a plan and works together with you to achieve the goals you both have. The relationship, that they use the word marriage, but I'll use the relationship, is her priority. Ooh, what do you think about that? I think that's a great one. I really, really buy into that one a lot. Because if you're in a relationship, a really good relationship, it really is about both of you achieving, being a muse for each other, encouraging other. You think about the other person and how are they doing? Are they getting where they want it? How can I help you? Or can I help you? I'll just listen, right? I'll just listen. Okay. Now, this next one's rather interesting. The girl you date loves the financial cushion you provide. She also expects something back whenever she gives. Now, that's a little cold and callous, but, you know, it's like it's a flow back and forth, you know. Well, I don't want him to take advantage of me or blah, 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 right? I'm only going to put, and I'll buy dinner, he buys dinner, that sort of thing, or he buys dinner, whatever, right? The woman you marry or have a long-term relationship wants to build a financial cushion with you. She believes that two heads will always be better than one. When she gives, she does not expect anything back. Tough one for some people, isn't it? That's a difficult one, you know, because sometimes you can get resentful in a relationship because you feel like you're putting in, and not getting anything back. So that flows from both sides. You know, I say this is the article is about a woman you're going to marry, but you could just turn this around and say a man that you're going to marry. To some degree, it flows both ways. This next one's kind of funny. We're just kind of getting into these. They're a little humorous at some level, right? The girl you date believes she knows everything. Well, not always, but the girl you marry is open to learning something new, knows there's always room for improvement. Do you ever date anybody that just seems to know everything? I'm thinking about somebody I've been talking to recently, local here, you know, just seems to know everything. You know, never mind. I just kind of dawned on me, like, wait a minute. I know somebody like that. They seem to know everything about everything. And every time you say something, they have something to, oh, but yeah, blah, blah, blah. You know? Okay. So, no. We're both growing. We're both sharing. We're developing it together. We're learning up from each other. We're discussing things. And I'm not the expert. You're not the expert. But we're learning things together, right? That's a couple. That's a relationship. What do you think? I always like your input on this. Love your input on this. A girl you date is scared to tell you her deepest secrets. Well, I think there's probably, you're at that dating stage, there's that trust issue, right? The woman you marry will share her deepest secrets with you, even if it means losing you. She trusts you. See, that is the word. That's the biggie. The biggie here is trust. She trusts you and shares everything with you. She knows honesty is always the best policy. Of course. And I don't know. Do you agree with that? Do you agree that with trust, you're open more, you talk more, you reveal more and more about yourself, and you peel back the layers of those secrets and those things that, like, oops, you know, the oops stuff, well, I did this and I did that, you know, that jail record, whatever it is, no, but, you know, that's extreme. But as you trust, you're able to open up. You know that the person's going to be there. They're going to understand that you went through your trials and tribulations and she went through hers. The word here, again, is trust. The girl you date does not get excited about marriage and children, even if she wants to have some one day. The woman you marry gets excited about marriage and starting a family with you. Now, that's a little turned around, but the woman you're dating isn't necessarily thinking long term, as in a relationship and as a sense of permanency. But the woman that you would marry starts with that attitude of, we're going to be in a long term relationship. That's where I see this going. That's where I want it to go. That's how I would redefine that statement a little bit. They come in with it, and after a while, you get into that place of, I really want to be in a long-term relationship with him or her. I mean, it goes both ways, right? This next one's funny. Now, some of these, I kind of look at them and go, okay, yeah, let's just do them and see what happens. And this brings up some interesting points of talking points. The girl you date is not concerned. Wait a minute. The girl you date shows her cleavage all the time. What do you think about that? One's a little heavy duty. I thought the woman you marry is more modest because she knows her attributes are for your eyes only. So if you're dating somebody, she might just still be putting it out there on parade, right? Guys do the same thing. So, you know, guys do exactly the same thing a little differently, but we do the same thing. We do the peacock thing also because we want women to notice us. And the same thing with a woman, still looking for men to notice her. So the cleavage is, you know, that's just a euphemism to be attractive to other opposite sex. Well, if you're in a relationship, you might dress it down a little bit. You're no longer in that mode of, look, I'm attracting somebody, or I'm going to attract this person. Not that you suddenly become slobs. Not that you suddenly just kind of give up with your appearance. Okay, the girl you date is not concerned about cooking for you. Yeah, that's true. You would go out all out. You don't necessarily want to come home and cook and share a meal together, right? The woman you marry loves not only to cook, but chooses delicious and healthy meals. The way the man's heart is through his stomach after all, right? Has anybody experienced that from a man or a woman's perspective? From a woman, have you felt that cooking for a man or preparing a meal? Now, it could be the guy, like me, I like to cook, so I would cook for a woman. Okay, if I want to impress a woman and to, you know, kind of share what I do, and I would cook for her. Boom, done, right? Things I don't eat. Even make, I'm mostly a vegetarian, unless you like seafood. I do seafood, but I would prepare chicken for her. I know how to cook chicken, how to spice a chicken and make it, you know, I'd get the old recipe things out and do something for a woman just because I want to show her that I love her and appreciate her and cook for her. That's appreciation, right? So it's the same thing for a woman. That's why they're doing is show appreciation for you, show that you want to share with you. The woman you date is overly concerned about how long you will be around and how she can keep you. I don't know about that one. Let me read the other one. Okay, they'll go with it. The woman you marry is not too concerned about keeping you because she knows you want to have a future with her. That's an interesting point if you think it from that perspective. She is mature enough to know that you can never force someone to stay and that you'll have to choose each other every day again and again. I'm not fond of that statement, those two statements, but I'll throw it out there and let you think about it. The girl you date is not willing to compromise with you. The woman you marry is willing to compromise and seeing compromise as a necessity for a healthy relationship or marriage. It goes both ways. The man who's just dating and just kind of casually going out there is not willing to compromise. They're not looking for long term. And so, but a man who's thinking about being in a relationship with somebody for a long time is willing to compromise, is willing to accept differences, right? So how are we doing? I'm going through all these and I'm forgetting about you guys if anybody wants to talk to me. Nope. Okay, back to the thing. Now, these are on Facebook if you want to read them and look at them for yourself and see what you think about it. But I thought it was an interesting way of looking at certain things. And it goes both ways, men and women. Okay, let me skip forward. Okay, number 12. So we're almost there anyway. Okay, the girl you date thrives on constant attention from you. The woman you marry mirrors your affection and thrives on providing you with love, support, and respect you need. That's a mature relationship. where you're not needy, always needing attention, always needing attention, always needing to be said that you look lovely this evening. But if you're in a good relationship, you know it's going to naturally come anyway, right? You know that your partner is going to appreciate you and show and express their appreciation for you in various ways. So not even verbally, because some people don't communicate verbally. You know, that's what gets a lot of men and women in trouble, is some men don't show verbal appreciation. But it's not that they don't appreciate that woman. They will do things instead. Excuse me. They will do things instead. They will fix a fence. They will repair a car. They will take out the trash. They will do these little physical things because that's where they're geared at in their mindset. Not necessarily verbally show appreciation, but show appreciation otherwise. And there's a whole study on that and how we communicate our feelings verbally and physically and sexually. And so in a relationship, it's really good to know how your partner communicates with you. What's their strongest way of communicating? Is it physical? Is it doing things? Is it showing support? Is it doing little things like repairing something or buying something from the store or getting something for you or buying flowers? Or is it verbal? I guess the buying things is a separate category than doing things, but you know what I mean. There's people have different ways of showing appreciation and love, and you need to understand your partner and the way they communicate love. Because some people it's just about giving, you know, doing things for you, cooking a meal. That's the way they show love or appreciation. It's not necessarily because they run around writing you notes and love songs, love stories every day. Okay, I think that's a great. So I think that's a great thing to think about in a relationship. You need to really think about how does that your partner express appreciation, and it's not always verbal. Next one is cool. The girl you date tries to change you, who you are, and compares you to their ex. Ew. The woman you marry accepts you for who you are and not compare you to her ex. I was in that relationship where I almost married somebody who wanted to constantly change me. Wanted to create and mold me into the man she thought I should be. That ended the relationship. So let me finish the rest of this. She knows that you're the best, that you can't, and that you cannot change another person no matter how hard you try. Because people will change because they need to change. People will change because they see value in changing, right? And if your partner sets an example in a certain aspect of life and you think, oh, wow, I like that. I like the way they do that. I like the way they dress and they get together. I like the fact that they're organized. I like, you know, and you change. You become more like that because you appreciate it. You think you see value in it versus, well, you're going to change me. You know, some people will see value in, you know, you can expose your partner to certain things, but they will change because they want to change. In my case, she was exposing to her religious practice, which was different than mine. And I decided, nah, that's not me. Okay. The girl you date has to be entertained. That's an interesting thought. Think about that one. Chew that one around for a while. The woman you marry is someone who can have fun with you, relax, do activities, or do nothing together and still enjoy each other's company. You can be in the same room. You could be reading different books. You could be doing totally different activities, but they just want to be near you, right? They want to be in the same room as you. Or that in the same house, just to know that you're there. That's what they're talking about here. You could be in a different room and your partner knows that you're there. And that's a comfort in itself. Now, that's my point of view. That's my opinion. You know, you could be in two separate places in the house, do two different things, but just knowing that your partner is there with you in the house, and that at any time you can start to communicate and share with each other, there's a lot of comfort in that. There's a lot of contentment in that, to go back to the emotional scale, knowing that your partner is there and you can always just start to communicate with each other. I think it's a beautiful statement. Think about it. Just chew that one around for a while. Think about that one for a while. I think it's a beautiful way of looking at it. Okay? What are we doing next? Are we going to have fun? Are we going to get back into, oh, let's do something different. How about your moods? I like this. This is an article from WebMD. Myths and facts about your moods. Because we're talking about the emotional scale and getting high on the emotional scale, getting up to that level of love. Music always improves your moods. Yes or no? And true or false? Well, the answer is false. Music can improve your mood, but it depends on what you're listening to. In a recent study, volunteers' moods improved when they listened to Mozart, but stayed the same when they heard other instrumental music. And their moods were made worse by music from the Holocaust movie Schindler's List. Yes, Mozart turns on the brain. So if you want to get like brain stimulated and mood shift, listen to a little bit of Mozart, okay? You know, chickens lay more eggs listening to Mozart. You know that? Let's just throw that one in there. Which of the following foods is thought to have positive effects on mood? Olive oil, salmon, walnuts, or all of the above? Well, we'll move through these quickly. The answer is all of the above. And a recent study found that people who consume a lot of olive oil are less likely to be depressed. Isn't that a kind of cool idea? Salmon and walnuts are good sources of omega-3 fatty acids. And some studies have suggested that these essential fatty acids could have mood-boosting properties. Some researchers also indicate that eating high-calorie comfort foods, which are typically reach for during stress or anxiety, may be the type natural reward that reduces stress hormones. Yeah, that your bowl of ice cream, right? Your reward food, your comfort foods, high-calorie comfort foods. Yes, that bowl of ice cream, that chocolate cake, your fudge. Okay, I'm just going to go off on that one. I'll leave that one alone. My next one was the fudge brownies, right? No, we'll leave that one alone. People listening going, dessert, yes. Okay, interacting with strangers is likely to have an effect on your mood. None. Make it better, make it worse. Make it better during the interaction, but worse afterwards. And the answer is make it better. Okay? A University of British Columbia study found that even brief interactions with strangers tended to improve people's moods. Researchers theorize that people tend to try to impress strangers and act cheerful around them, which has the collateral effect of putting them in a better mood. You know, fake it till you make it kind of thing. Well, if you act like you're in a better mood, oops, hey, I'm running out of time. See if I have time for one more. You're more likely to catch someone in a lie if you're in which of the following moods, good, bad, or neutral. And the answer is bad mood. If you're in a bad mood, you're more likely to catch a lie. Now, not that you want to go in a bad mood all the time and catch lies, but that's the way it is. This is an Australian researcher who studied this effect on moods. Okay, so we're done for the day almost. This has been fun. So all week, I will be here tomorrow. Won't be here Wednesday, but I'll be here Thursday and Friday. All week, we'll talk about aspects of love. Now, this is the week, if you really want to talk about your relationships and you want to know more about your partner or the person you're thinking about having a relationship with, it's a good week to call in. I do a lot of psychic work, intuitive work on the side, and I do get a lot of relationships, and I am able to read the partner and what their intention is and what they want. So we can read the other person and see where they're going with this. and find out, ooh, they want the same things or they don't want the same things. Usually you know, but it's good to hear from somebody else. Okay, I love you guys. It's been fun. Thank you for the callers. Thank you, callers. Thank you for those who are listening. And I will be back tomorrow at the same time, and we'll do more of that.